Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
I was born by the river in a little tent, and whoa, like the river I've been running ever since. It's been a long, long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes, well. It's been too hard to live, but I'm afraid to die, 'cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will. See, I go to the movies, and then I go downtown. My brother keeps telling me I'm not the
hang around. It's been a long.
Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moses, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Good afternoon. This is Beth Yahweh, Baltimore, Maryland congregation. I'm your host, Brother Shabael. Tonight is Lakadosh Tova. Lakadosh Tova. The new moon. We'll open it with a prayer. Hallelujah. Father Yah, thank you for waking me and giving me the breath of life, and thanking you for waking all who are tuned in this evening on your Rosh Kadosh, the new moon. Continue, Father, to strengthen us and give us your wisdom, most important, your understanding. Let we decrease so you can increase. Open up our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, Father God. Pour in us your words. Your words of life. Bless all the Zakans. Bless all the wives. Bless all the young adults. Bless all the children. Keep them in your heads. Bless all the single members of the congregation. Don't want to leave anyone out, Father God. Bless our families and loved ones. They may not know your truth and words. They're still in this darkness of this land. But we're going to continue to be co-laborers with your Holy Spirit to deliver them and bring them your words and light. Forgive us of our sins, knowing and unknowing. Watch over our sister, our coach, Debbie, while she is waiting for her procedure to be performed this week. And Yah will be done. He will give the guidance and guide the surgeons eyes and be their eyes and their hands for a successful procedure for our coach. And anyone else that's having any physical ailments, comfort them, Abba, physically, and most important, spiritually, Abba, and also financially and emotionally. Continue to watch over us, our spiritual leader, Rabbi Yah Kal-El, and his family, and all the Kohen, and all the family at Beth Yahweh. Thank you. In the name of your son, Yahushua, our son and king. Amen. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, family. If you can hear me, somebody just send me a text real quick and let me know if it's loud enough or it's not loud enough. Today is on the Gregorian calendar, the second month, which they call February, and today is the second day of the Gregorian calendar of February, the second month. But the true calendar of the Most High that created the heavens and earth, all things that's on the earth, in the seas and under the seas, and Today is the first of Sebet, High Kadosh, the new moon. Today is the first of the month Sebet, which is the 11th month. You'll see that term found in the book of Deuteronomy that's found in the Old Testament, one of the first five books in the Old Testament. It's the fifth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3, you'll find that month and the day's date, the first historical event happened in the world, which people don't consider that's a historical event, but it is, because why? It's the ways of the Most High, and he wrote that and put that in the Torah and the oracles for all mankind to know. And you'll find it Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 3. Excuse me. I found it interesting. When I first taught on the new moon, HaKadosh, Rosh HaKadosh, last month, the beginning of the 10th month, Tibet, the month we just came out of last night, the final night of the 10th month, the 30th day. We had 30 days in this that month, the 10th month. Yahweh months have 29 or 30 days. No 28. Like February, this month on this Gregorian calendar has 28. You know how some years they call it a leap year and they had a 1 day, 29 days. Yahweh don't do that. Yahweh had a whole 13th month when it's necessary. But, and the reason was the 13th month had to be added because we were told, we're instructed by Yahweh in Deuteronomy chapter 16 to guard the month of Abib. So to guard the month of Abib, then you have to be diligently on guard to make sure that the season, the spring feast, holy feast season, come in a prospective season, which is their spring feast. We just came out of fall feast, which is in the month of Ethanim that we call the seventh month, that Yahweh calls the seventh month, which is what we call on the Gregorian calendar corresponds with September, October. They were the fall feast. And I found it interesting because I was going to change topics, but he said, no, you're going to finish this out. I started on the first of Tibet with famine. I don't know why, but during that day, it came to me. So I said, let's go with famine. It's kind of timely and it's fitting because it's very interesting today, family. On the calendars, we see something called Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is a tradition that's known all over the world. And it goes as, the tradition is the groundhog sees his shadow. If he sees his shadow, it's the groundhog don't see his shadow. Early spring is predicted in the next early spring-like weather for the next six weeks until the start of spring. If he sees his shadow, six more weeks of wintry weather. The origin of Groundhog Day comes from a Catholic tradition called Candlemas. The priests blessed the winter candles, because during those times they didn't have electricity like we have now. They had lanterns and lamps. Priests blessed the candles, so the candles be blessed, the light will be given throughout the remaining of the winter. And we know during the winter time, the days are shorter, but they start lengthening, you know, the days will start getting brighter and brighter as we approach the spring. Excuse me. yesterday I found it interesting. On was the Chinese New Year. And you probably say, where are you going with this, brother Chavel? What does this have to do with a famine? What I found interesting is, I see why Yahweh said, no, you don't have to change yet. Finish this up. Perfect timing, because while the 1st of February in the Gregorian calendar was considered a new year, Chinese New Year, and now we know Yahweh is the creator of the heavens and earth, all that is, and he's the creator of every mankind. So that would not be the new year for the Chinese. Any nationality that you are, as myself, I'm considered an African-American. You can be a Chinese, Japanese, European. You follow what I'm saying? From different nationalities. African. From the continent of Africa. You know, we have 7 continents, and we have different nationalities, different places. The land down under, Australia, you could be in Australia. But regardless of where you're from, England, different areas or locations and nations of people, or they call it ethnicities of people, celebrate different New Year's. But that's not true, because why? Yahweh is the creator of all humankind. So remember, one law for all. We know how that was given to Moshe and how it was passed on. Before Moshe came along, we see that was illustrated through who? Father Abraham. Remember, Father Abraham was told in Genesis chapter 17 for the covenant that Yahweh wanted him to have between those two was the circumcision covenant. And it was told himself, we circumcised. He was 99 years old, circumcised himself at 99, and all his household, anyone that who was his purchase servant or servant he received. Now under wherever they came from, whatever nations or whatever, the servants of Abraham and his household, they became circumcised and became under Abram, because he wasn't Abraham at the time before he got, just doing that chapter, his name changed and his wife, Sarah. But what I'm trying to say, even before Moshe wrote that one law for the sojourn, homegrown, excuse me, family. One law for one, Abraham already, you can see the transition. You can see the transmission that Abraham, it began with Abraham. Because remember, he had 318 trained servants in his household, and all of them were circumcised also. And then, like I said, we fast forward, time goes on. Abraham's the father of faith with his, and Moshe comes along, and then nation of Israel is delivered from Egypt. Excuse me. And then that's when Yahweh also told Moshe to tell them one law for all mankind. So yesterday, February the 1st, on the Gregorian calendar, which was Tibet on Yahweh's calendar, Tibet the 30th, was considered the Chinese New Year, which, no, that's not true, because we know Yahweh tells us in Exodus chapter 12 that his New Year, he told Moshe, this is the beginning of your year, what we call Korsai, what we call Gregorian calendar, March, April. Right now, like I said, we're in the Sebet, so we're in the 11th month. So we still have the Sebet will be Adar. This year would not be needed for Adar 2 or Bet, Adar Bet. Therefore, it would just be Adar 1. And then after Adar, which is the 12th month, you find those months listed. You find them throughout the scriptures, but you'll find them also, I believe, in Exodus chapter 3. Name so much, but you will see after Adar, Then it's what? Abib. Because Adar is the 12th month, and then it's Abib. And that's Yahweh New Year. So for the Chinese, my Chinese brothers and sisters, they're a couple months early. Yeah, they're a couple months early because this is the beginning of the day. It's the beginning of the 11th month. And then we still got Adar. So they're 2 months early. Well, hopefully if any one of those, my Chinese brothers and sisters are listening, and not just my Chinese brothers and sisters, like I said, other continents or other ethnicities around the world, they have different dates and different months that they consider the new year, beginning of the new year. So hopefully they can listen and get some good food and they can break that famine. They've been eating, but they're not getting nourishment, the proper nourishment that they need, because yesterday was not the Chinese New Year. Now today, the Groundhog Day. Like I said, it started off as Catholic tradition with called candle mass, where the priests bless the candles for the remaining of the winter months, because like I said, you know, as the spring gets closer, lengthen, the days get longer. And I found it interesting how by being malnourished, did a little, looked up a few things. I thought about this. Can it be such as a good famine and a bad famine? Is such anything? Could that happen, Yahweh? And he explained, like, yes. A good famine is you're doing the things that I command you, my law, statutes, and commandments. That's a good famine. But how is that a good famine? Because why? You're not sustaining. You're refraining. You're staying away from the things that Yahweh said to stay away from, the ways of the world. So if we as believers, children of Yahweh, we want a famine. We want to have a famine from the ways of the world. Because remember, we just came out of the book of James, what, a couple Sabbaths ago. Brother Dale Well opened it up beautifully. And Brother Yaakel, Rabbi Yaakel, he closed it beautifully. And remember, in those chapters it says, to love the world is what? Enmity against Yahweh. Because why? It's the ways of the flesh. Remember, we looked at 1 John chapter 2, Sabbath, last Sabbath, this past Sabbath, at the 11 o'clock Bible studies. And 1 John chapter 2 told us about pride of life, the lust of flesh. I think it's like around about verse 14 and 15, you go in that chapter. So therefore it is. And I ask, like, does that make sense that way? A good famine, can it be a good famine, a bad famine? In that perspective, if you look at it that way, yes, it can. Because Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, be transformed. Doing in your mind and make your body to be a living, present your body a living, holy sacrifice that's acceptable sacrifice of the Most High. So therefore, it can be good famine versus a bad famine. On the contrary, on the other side, people of the world that have no interest in the Most High, what we do is frowned upon and looked at as a bad famine. Because why? It doesn't look appetizing. Doesn't look fulling. Doesn't look good. And I've learned from growing up some medications or little remedies that my grandmother passed down to my parents, because I had older parents and older grandparents. A lot of those things that were good to help me feel better, they didn't taste that good. Or they looked unorthodox, didn't look normal, but they worked. I'll give one real quick, Ron Stanley. I'm sure you all had your own. You can text me in a couple if you remember. I'll shoot it by. This won't be a long class. You can remember any remedies, you know. But I remember one when I used to get fever, temperature. You know, temperature over 102, that's kind of bad. So, yeah, 102 or 103, I had high temperature fever. My dad would put me in the bathtub. Like, not real cold, ice cold water, but he put me in the bathtub. Like, ooh. And then he would take me out of the bathtub, then he'd run me down to alcohol. Then my mother's downstairs in the kitchen. She took I didn't buy anything, I was young. One of the family's pillowcases out of the linen closet, and she would chop up some onions. She would chop the onions up, and she would put them in the pillowcase and bring them up. And my father was like, yeah, he's still in the bed, because he didn't pat me down and put the alcohol on me or whatever. And my mother would come and wrap these onions around, give them to my father, him or her, or they do it together. Wrap the onion, the pillowcase around my chest, tie it on there tight. I mean, not to suffocate me or constrict my breathing, but, you know, it's on there because, you know, I'm in the bed. I'm going to lay down and go to sleep, so it has to be a little tight. And so, you know, I sleep while that, you know, you turn and it's gone. You know, it will fall off me, but long story short. And you might put a couple, slice a little few in my socks. Most of the time they didn't do the socks, but every now and then they put a couple pieces in the socks. My father didn't want to waste anything. I'm surprised he didn't make no onion soup, whatever, leftover onions. Not letting nothing go. But long story short, I would wake up, and my father would come in there during the middle of the early morning hours, 3 or 4 o'clock. So he was an early riser anyway. But he'd come in there around 3 or 4 o'clock, or 2:30 to 3 o'clock, roughly. He'd take my temperature, put the thermometer, you feel me? Maybe drink some water. And then he would remove the pillowcase off of me because why? The temperature had been drawn out by the onions. Believe it or not, family, I've experienced this several times. And of course, while, you know, the bed is soaking wet, of course, he'll go ahead and go in the linen closet, you know, and take off that linen and make me take off my that wet clothing. Sometimes it make me go take a shower, so go ahead and get a shower quick. But then, you know, if you know I'm really bad with it, but okay, he would make me at least change those pajamas because they're soaking wet. And he'll change the bedspread for me. And then, bam, I go back to bed. And then when I wake up in the morning, he check on me before he go to work. Like I said, he's already early morning. He probably leave out to go to work about 6. He check one more time, make me drink some water. I always just can't drink some water. And then, bam, my mother come in later on in the morning, make me get up, eat breakfast. Long story short, that was a remedy. And it worked. Things that we learn, some are good, some are bad. Some are good to hold on to. I also thought about traditions of man. Traditions of man. We told Yahshua, mentions that through the scripture. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your mind, you say heart, but your mind is far from you. You make the commandments of God non and void, but uphold the traditions of the elders and men. What he meant was the elders of the Pharisees, the Sadducees. You held them. You hold a man-made honor, I mean a man-made tradition, but will not obey Yahweh's. So what was happening in the last 2 days here, yesterday was considered a Chinese New Year, which that's impossible because Yahweh is the creator of the Chinese too, as little people. And today is considered Groundhog Day. We'll worship, we accept these things, like I said, people will look at the way we look at life. Following the will, laws, and statutes, and being obedient in the Most High, walking in His way, as a bad family. Not that, you know, not good. Like I said, doesn't taste good, doesn't look good, doesn't smell good. But like I told you, as a child, I shared that remedy. A lot of things, a lot of that medicine they gave me too, didn't taste good. When I was little, it wasn't no grape and like medicine now, kids. If I was a child now, I'd be reminding the parents, time to take my medicine. come in different flavors now, and just different stuff. But when I grew up, so a lot of things that were good for me growing up, they didn't taste that good, didn't smell that good. Cause I don't know if I ever smelled onions. The temperature of my body, high fever, was cooking the onions. So they cooked it, they draw it out, they work together. And to this day, if I feel ill or something, whatever, or I'm at work, I know a couple of my cooks, we work in the office, a couple of my coworkers used to be feeling ill, coughing and all that, I would immediately just go in the refrigerator because I cut them up on my salad anyway. I cut an onion in half and put one piece on one side, in the one corner of the room, another corner. Yes, people are coming and go, I smell an onion, man. And I tell them, my coworkers, the reason why I'm doing this, to help y'all get this, so we can combat this germs that's going around. You're sick or you too sick, but no need for us other two to get sick or three. So to this day, that onion, they have that municipal, they can do it. That's amazing. I find it very amazing. I also was looking at, so it's interesting how man will listen if a groundhog, and I've come to find out the Germans, thinking like 1887 or something, or after 1887 or whatever, they adopted a hedgehog, and that's how we got what we see now, Groundhog's Day. But it's officially with Catholic tradition, so Candlemass. But long story short, none of these things are found in the Torah. That's what I'm trying to say. So people still not eating properly, not getting fed properly, getting fed what? The Most High. The food that he had in store for us, that he knows is good. Jeremiah 29:11-13, he said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for your future, plans for you to prosper. So everything Yahweh tells us to do or whatever, like I said, remember just like in the scriptures, eat the whole roll, not some, not a piece, not a part, eat the whole roll. We'll say, always confused that. I should have read that. I didn't know I was going to use that verse, but it came to mind. Talking about how some things that were good for you, helped heal you, didn't taste that good, didn't smell that good. But they say eat the whole roll. We say sweet to the mouth and bitter to the stomach. Bitter to the stomach, sweet to the mouth. Apologize for not looking at scripture. I didn't even know I was going to use that, but I'm glad that came. That helps, fits right in what I was stating. And I also was just curious. I'm like, okay. I thought about when Brother Ward was teaching, because Brother Ward teaches us nutrition. When I say nutrition, he teaches us about herbs that we can use for different healing properties. That's the word I wanted to say. I caught lost for words when I said onions have a right municipal healing properties to them. Brother Ward would teach us about what herbs you can use to help cleanse certain acne, cleanse your intestines, your digestive system, cleanse your mucus, and herbs that help inflammation if you were suffering inflammation. He would share that with us, but he also, what came to my mind today, Brother Ward also shared a term called, it's sort of like this good famine and bad famine. That's when I seen it, when I was asking y'all, I was like, does that sound right? Does that sound like a good famine and bad famine? Then I thought about Brother Ward. Well, Brother Ward taught us there's good bacteria in our intestines, what they call our gut health, stomach, and then there's bad bacteria. And believe it or not, your body needs, you would think bacteria, ooh, don't need any, but y'all, you need some bacteria. You need the good bacteria in our digestive system to help our gut region, to help everything function properly. And I found that interesting, so I said, okay, it does. It's not sounding crazy, but There's such thing as a good famine and a bad famine, but it's determining what side you're on and how you look at it. Like I said, others would view what we're doing, and that's nasty. That's a bad famine. So that came to my mind, and I looked at how, so since we're on this famine, and what does a famine cause? Famine causes malnutrition, malnourished, a lack of nutrients, deficiency that you may need. And I found it interesting. When I look at some photos, you see a picture of a child with a, most of the one I came across, you know, showing his continent, Africa, Ethiopia, and stuff like that, Somali. They showed a picture of a child with a big stomach, it looked like what we call fat stomach, Santa Claus, but they call that bloated. And that's the cause of the water retention because they're not having enough food. I noticed they have bald heads. And it kind of made me think now, we see people are doing, like you said, Romans 11, Romans 13, what it calls it, have a form of righteousness, but denying the God, the power of. See, they're going away making their own righteousness, but they doesn't have to do because the template already been laid down throughout our forefathers. He said, well, how do you figure Adam toward his son, Cain and Abel? That's where the sacrifice come in. Genesis chapter 4, when Cain was upset because Yahweh didn't take his offer. Bam. And fast forward, Noah was considered counted righteous. 8 souls were delivered. Remember when Noah was building the ark, preaching righteousness? Nobody wanted to hear. It was a famine in the land at that time. Remember, Yahweh said, all mankind, the imagination of God, evil, run amok. Nobody wanted to hear. They didn't want to eat what, you know, I'm just using an analogy. They didn't want to eat what Noah was talking about. Like, doesn't appease me, my appetite. Doesn't amuse my palate. That's the word I'm looking for. Nah, until then. Drops of water start falling down pretty hard, which they never saw, because remember, the account tells it never rained before. Then after Noah, well, before Noah, we knew that Enoch was given word, Brother Enoch. And then, like I said, the transmission just keep going from Noah, bam. Then we get to Father Abraham. And keep on going, just keep on going. He always has a remnant. He always, his truth and his word will always get passed along, dispensed along by his chosen vessel. I thought it was interesting. I said, let me see also the effects. Because like I said, we see people out here in the world look like it's, they look, like I told you, now, stomach, look like they're well fed or whatever, but they're lacking. A person can look big or whatever, but lacking the proper nutrients that they need. So it's the same way in this world. A person may look like everything is going swell, but spiritually, they're bankrupt, they're deficient, they're malnourished, they're in a famine state, but it doesn't look like it. Why? Nice house, nice car. I'm not saying those things are bad, but I'm just saying, Shakut talked early this morning, or, you know, was at work before we both got busy, you know, in our conversation. But he was saying, he also stated like how people can see things from the outer side and look at them like, oh, wow, man. But not knowing what's going on eternally. And like the brother brought up very well, he's like, Yahweh is not like man. Yahweh sees a man's heart. A man mind, remember, not the heart, this is the old way. A man mind. Yahweh, Proverbs, what, 6 tells us that? Proverbs 6 or 10. Yahweh knows the intention, the way man thinketh, the man goes. Yeah. So what may appear like a person like, they're doing well, they're well fed. Nah, they're starving, they're famished, spiritually starving. How does malnutrition affect the brain? Because I thought about it, I said, okay, you got the body, but come on, what else? The brain. And so I looked, and some information was saying it's a nutrient deficiency. And with that nutrition deficiency from being malnourished may speed up the rate of the brain loses its neurons, which can impair, which can impair speech, coordination, and memory. And I said, wow, speech. Yahweh tell us, we just came out of James. Watch your tongue. Trying to tame your tongue. You don't know the ways of Yahweh. Use your tongue any kind of way. So why? You don't look into his word to get the proper food that your body needs to sustain it, to maintain it, and to conduct itself accordingly. What's the other one? Coordination. Let this walk. Remember, we're told to change it. In Hebrew, for walk, it's the number three. Call it gimel. And that's a walk. So it affects malnutrition affects the brain with nutrient deficiencies that cause the brain to lose, speed up the losses of neurons, speed up the rate because the brain loses it, which can impair speech, coordination, the way you walk. We as believers, kingdom citizens, we have to walk a certain way. We got to walk the way that Yahweh intends for us to walk, that he commands us to walk. Walk in his what? His laws, commandments, statutes. Excuse me. Walk upright. Where's that water at? Apologize, man. And the third one I found interesting, the memory. I was like, whoa. If you malnourish and nobody's been planting a seed, like Abraham was a sower, like we're told in Matthew chapter 13, a sower goes out and plants. If nobody's planting the proper seed during the proper season, the proper time, whatever the product, the finishing results from the seed that you planted or sowed, and the soil has to be perfect, you know, everything has to be in line, not going to get a good harvest. It's going to be a very faint harvest or any at all. So your crops, your harvest, maybe anything. And what came to my mind was memory. So what happens over the years, what we've seen over the years, like I said, those Chinese brothers, that yesterday was their New Year's, and I told you they're 2 months ahead because the day is the beginning of the 11th month. And then we got a dog, the 12th month, then a bee, which is found in Exodus chapter 12. Those brothers been malnourished because I'm sure in the beginning, because remember, all mankind, Yahweh intended for all mankind to hear his word and be come out of the darkness. They have got away, our Chinese brothers and sisters and other brothers and sisters. I'm not picking on Chinese. I'm just using because on the calendar, it tells you their New Year's. And I've seen on the calendar, I can't recall them right now, it showed certain other countries had New Year's. Not this month, but other months. I think Canada had their New Year was like almost close to how America's or whatever, but you get the picture, what I'm saying. All those nations and countries, regardless of where they're located or whatever, there's only one God that created everything, the heavens and earth, and only one love. And that's only one way you can be saved. That's the salvation of following these things. Remember he told us in 1 John 3, when he said, my laws and commandments, they're not grievous. That you can do it. You can't do it. Always remember this. So what you mean I can't do it, Shabbat? You can't do it by yourself. Romans 7, 14, 15 tell us, but we know that the law, the Bible, these things are spiritual also. Yes, they're surface. Those surface things count too, but also they go deeper. Because remember, they come from heaven, come from where the Holy Spirit lives at. John chapter 4, verse 24 tells us where God is a spirit. And those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. So what happens over the years, our Chinese brothers got away from Yahweh. I'm sure Chinese brothers knew Yahweh, because if you looked at some of the journeys when I had to teach in First Thessalonians, I had to open that book up, I believe, about 3 weeks ago. And Brother Yariel, this Sabbath, beautifully, he closed that book, chapters 3 and 4 and 5. And if you go in the back of most Bibles, show you maps, and it show you Paul's missionary journeys and all that. You'll see how it went. Thessalonians, those places that Paul went to, Ephesus, Colossians, and all that. So you see that in that region, back in those days, and then you come fast forward now, that's over in that area still. So they knew of, because we're in, like right now, we're going through Thessalonians. We just finished First Thessalonians, so I'm believing we're going to Second Thessalonians. I think that's all. Don't hold me on that. But I'm just saying. But it shows you the journeys. And so that area, that region in China, they heard the word once, or more than once, at least. That's what I'm trying to say, long story short. So how did they get to, because every Sabbath we told, remember, they will hear the word of Moses, the Torah, the law. So I'm sure it never had Sabbath the first, what we, you know, what's called now, February, well, February the first, which would be either Sabbath 1, if Tibet has 29 days, or would be Sabbath 2, or would be Sabbath 2, like today is the first of Sabbath, if Tibet, the month of Tibet, the 10th month, had 30 days. But nowhere in there it said that. It said an Exodus. What's that Exodus? Shemot names. Shemot said, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1-3. This is the beginning of your month. He said, well, that don't help me, Shavuot. Just say, it's the beginning of your month. That's January, right? This is the beginning of the year. January. We're talking about the ways of the Most High. So what happened? How we find out? You go right over to chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13, verse 4, and you'll say, you came out. This is the month I brought you out of Egypt, the month of Abib. So, bam. Now you can go look where the Abib is and go, it's going to say, corresponding with what we, on your Gregorian calendar, March, April, the new year. That's how Yahweh knew it. So that's why our Chinese brothers and sisters, they once knew. They once knew. So it affected, so that by them being malnourished and in this famine of Yahweh's word, it impaired their speech because they're going around hollering, Happy New Year. Speech is impaired. Coordination is all out of the line. You're not coordinating. You can have coordination. You specifically are in line and in tune. Let me make sure I said that right. There's something I seen a few minutes ago. I cut on. Give me 1 second, man. I want to see some of that word coordination. I used to say, I think it was something we used to use in the Army called hand-eye coordination training. I'm not going there. Coordinate. Bring the different elements of a complex activity or organization into a relationship that will ensure efficiency of harm. Okay, that works for me. I wasn't too far. Right? Let me make sure I coordination, the organization of the different elements of a complex body like that. This Webster's, Oxford Dictionary. The organization of the different elements of a complex body of activity so as to enable them to work together effectively. The ability, second definition, the ability to use different parts of the body together smoothly, efficiently. Ooh, that doesn't sound like, what's that, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or 2 Corinthians 13, that we all members of one body, and Yahshua is the chief cornerstone. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the effects of a malnutrition does to the brain when the brain lacks nutrients. The loss of your neurons, it speeds up the loss of your neurons, which can impair your speech, coordination. So we see the word coordination. We're not coordinated because why? Our Chinese brothers and sisters saying yesterday was the new year. Yahweh and our Israel brothers and sisters know that the new year is in Abib. our American brothers and sisters that fall under everybody, they were told January the 1st was New Year. So you see, it's not according to that those two definitions, excellent definitions. It's not, you can't be divided. That's division. So the organization or the body, they can't work. It doesn't enable them to work effectively together. And when something can't work effectively together, coordinate, that's why I was handing out coordination. Now it makes sense. You won't have a good outcome. Things won't run smooth and effectively as you plan them. And three, memory. Your memory is gone. Like now we're in a time of, gigabytes and I forgot the one he just was talking about. Every job this week. Anyway, it means a bunch of memory. You computer people know which one I'm talking about. I definitely know. But we had all this bike. Basically, long story short, got a number of memory. Boy, this gave me, I got more gigabytes and more gigabytes. It gave me more memory. So now what happens? People's memories over the years, like I said, since those journeys of Paul, since the Great Commission, go ye out and teach. That commission still exists to this day. That's our job. We're one of the co-laborers with the Holy Spirit at Beth Yahweh. Not saying we're the only ones here involved with the truth or whatever, but we're one of them. Remember, Yahweh has people everywhere. There's some brothers over in China know the truth of Yahweh, and they're telling people. I'm sure they went around yesterday and said, no, today not New Year's. I'm sure they went around and said, well, you tell us always, grandmother, great-grandmother. But they were wrong. So they're doing their part for Yahweh. But I found it very interesting because now it makes sense when we read it every Shabbat, family. Because look, like I said, malnutrition affects the brain. And speech impairs the speech. Coordination and memory. Now I understand more clearly. I had to understand it, but even more now. This makes more sense when we hear this, family. We hear it every Sabbath from Aki Ahabel. And it goes like this. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Akkad. Hear Israel, Yahweh is our Mighty One, our God, Elohim, Yahweh is one. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. You shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That sounds like some coordination right there, don't it? That sounds like some coordination, right? All you remember that term for coordination meant, remember, a group, a body, an entity that works effectively together. You know, everything works effectively together so it can be efficient. One accord. And you should teach them diligently. Excuse me, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be on your mind. Say heart, but we know your mind is a thing. Heart's just a muscle. Verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently. That's that memory, right? And the speech also come out in this one. And you shall talk of them. You should teach them diligently to your children. So let's install, let's put in their memory. Remember Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the right way. He or she won't depart. You should teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign on your hand and they shall be for frontlets between your eyes, and you should write them on your doorposts and on your house and on your gates. So that came to my mind when I was saying the effects of malnutrition does to the brain. I'm like, and now I said, oh, Deuteronomy 4:6. I mean, I've been doing it. I mean, I said, man, it gave me more clarity on this thing. And now y'all, and that's another combative measure. Am I saying the right word? What made me say this? It sounds like I used to teach in the military. I used to use that word combative. Is that all right? Am I saying it? Can I use that word? Let me look up. Let me apologize. I ain't make sure I ain't saying something. Should be saying so everybody said, what is he talking about? Combative, ready or eager to fight. For example, combative. The definition of combative is a person who likes to fight or argue. Example, combative person who likes to debate or everything. Okay, but I'm in the right area. That's Deuteronomy 6:4, starting 6:4, the whole Torah, but he gives us little extra little things, little more things to sharpen our eyes. So when he come along in Deuteronomy, that's why he says, Shema, listen. Over here in Hebrew means Shema, listen. I mean, listen attentively. Just like I told you in the beginning, Yahweh told us Deuteronomy 16. He told us to guard the month of Abib. So we're to watch. We'll know when to come in, when to add an extra 13th month when it's needed so that everything can fall in the spring season as Yahweh orchestrated. Where mankind only has what? This year they got 28, so I mean, I guess next year they're going to have 29. Just one day? Nah, Yahweh don't work like that. But that's what happens when we have a famine, because why? We see the calendars are not coordinated in coordination with the Most, the Creator, the Most High that created everything. You don't think he know when seasons are going to come in and when? Then where did we find the groundhog? Did Yahweh tell Moshe when he talked to him in Exodus chapter 12, like I just told you? He didn't say, hey, Moshe, come here. The day you see the hedgehog, that's when going to be your New Year's. No, he didn't say that. But what happens with the famine, getting back? People have got away from the ways of Yah, far away. Okay, it's 8:28. We're going to close this up. I'm not going to hold you up so everybody can enjoy. This is joyous. I'm going to read something so you can see this is a joyous time. This is like how Yahweh is so beautiful. Think about it. Every sunset Friday, the sixth day, the sunset Saturday. Every sunset Friday, the beginning of the seventh day, the sunset Saturday. That's a feast. That's a celebration. People don't understand and they miss it. He gave us one of them every month, and then every now and then, like he just did, he gave us what? Today, Wednesday, he given us one. So we having two feasts, two good days, beautiful days. It's not a holy day, but Yahweh tell you to remember it. And you got to think about, like, why remember the new moon? Think about it. Every new moon is what? A renewing of another month, another cycle. So every month he puts in a new moon and wants us to get together on what we could say, Lakodesh, Latova, wants us to get together in memory, blow your shofar, eat, drink, you know, sing your hymns, play your music. It's a joyous time to let us know it's one more month, another month of life that Yahweh is bringing in. And we get to see, like Yahweh shared with me, I don't know if I told you. I was like, how can everything be, you told everybody be fruitful and multiply. And he showed me, like, I said, the moon. He's like, yeah, it does. On the first of the month, the moon is a sliver. And then it gets bigger and bigger for fit to the 14 to 15 days. That's the most light. So that's the most fruitful that the moon becomes on the 14th and 15th day. And then what happens? And then it starts what? Waning. I mean, it starts fading away. But have no fear. When the new month come in, we have something to look forward to. The new moon is waxing in. It's growing. It's growing. It's growing. And it's growing to its fullest. What came to my mind, family? Some of you probably remember, because I didn't think of that until we just were saying that. We were in a book of, slip my mind and quit. I knew we was in the pocket for books. And it was a scripture. I think we were in Esther or something. Forgive me. But you know, most of you know, and it stated how the beauty of the full moon at its fullness, it is on the 14th and 15th, how it's at its full glory, and then it fades away. That's what just came to my mind, thinking that. Because we went through that before when we was in the book of Ezra. I think it was in Ezra. But it also states what I just said. And I, you know, thank Yahweh for confirming that even more. It's like, that's how the moon be fruitful. And it multiplies till it gets to 15. And if I'm not mistaken, the 14th is the nun. And the 15th is, what's the 15th? Oh, man, I got a brain freeze. Apologize, man. Oh, yeah, that's right. 15th is the summit. The summit. 15th is the summit. And we also know in Hebrew, is 15? No, 15 don't mean Yahweh, man. I think it's 7. My bad. I think it's something else. But anyway, family, that's what came to my mind. And see somebody sent me a text. Maybe they helping me out. Read this text real quick. Come on. Okay, somebody saying. Oh, they just were saying, Toda Aki. You just tell me like you good, I can hear you. It's a long Toda. What came to my mind that Amos, I'm gonna read this in your hearing, Amos 8. And this is what happened. We seeing what's happening. Where am I? Amos 8 says, 8:11 says, I'm gonna read it in your hearing. Excuse me. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land. So we see now where famines come. We see who's the author of a famine. Remember, nothing can happen. Hasatan can ask and request, can it be a famine? Because we know that from the book of Job. Nothing can happen. Remember, he said, you can't do nothing to Job unless you ask me, like, okay, you know, you can do that. You can do that, but don't take his life. So as we see, Yahweh, the author of the famine. He doesn't just do famines just because he's bored and don't have nothing to do. The famines are a result of disobedience or a result of judgment from being disobedient, failure, being a lawbreaker, iniquity, a transgressor for disobedience to his word. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days comes that Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing Yahweh's word. And remember, Matthew, what's that, Matthew 5, 6, 7, the Beatitudes, whatever, the Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking to his disciples. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's another combative measure. That's another way to beat a famine. Verse 12, they will wander from sea to sea, and from north even to east. They will run back and forth to seek Yahweh's word and will not find it. In that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint for thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria and say, as your God Dan lives, and as the way of Bathsheba lives, they will fall and never rise again. So as we see right there, Yahweh gave a message that it would be a famine from his word. And that's interesting because I was like, man, I found it interesting. I said, why would Yahweh want to give a famine? Why would he do that? But as I was saying, because of the lack of obedience, that's what he would have to do. Sometimes we have to do, like I said earlier, certain things that's good for you or to make you better or deliver you doesn't taste that well, doesn't smell that good, or doesn't feel that good sometimes, or not easy. But we have to trust in Yahweh that everything that he does, all his judgments are righteous and pure, like it said in Psalms 119. So as we see, how traditions of man can come along and do, and like I said, we're aware of the scriptures we saw. You told Moses, this is how you know the beginning of your year, whatever, groundhog. No, nowhere there. Nowhere in the scriptures. But that's how mankind has got so far away from the Most High, so far away from a good, what's the word I'm looking for? A good plate, a good menu. Menu has been tainted, and mankind being deficient does not know the things that are presented to be good and nutritious and what is delicacies. You're not even supposed to eat them because they fall under being unclean. Well, Yahweh has unclean foods. But in the world, because of their far away from Yahweh and it's a famine for the good, the knowledge of Yahweh, they accept those things. That's abomination to the Most High that he asked mankind not to take. What's another one? Okay, family, what is 837? Sorry, 738. Okay, that's all right. excuse me. Okay, I'm going to go to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 26. I'm going to go there first. I couldn't leave from, well, that's going to be the last one. I see where I messed up at. Apologize, man. Yeah, right there. That's last. Excuse me. Right, gotcha. What I say, Genesis. Apologize, Genesis. There's something else I said I won't read to before we close out. Like I said, we're going to say something else. If something like 81 or 83, I'll get it though. It's going to come to you. Bereshit, book of Genesis. I'm going to read this in your hands. Chapter 26. Remember I told you, family, last time on New Moon, I said the first time account of a famine was mentioned was in Genesis chapter 12 through father Abraham, when Abraham was called out. Make sure I'm saying that right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Genesis chapter 12 verse 10. There was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt because the famine was so severe. Like I said, remember Paul told us in Romans 7:14, family? We know that the Bible, they say the law, when people get confused, and they think like that's just the first five books in the Bible. Yeah, that is considered the law, but the whole book is the law. It's the law of God, the commandments. So that's why I try to interchange and let a person know that. It's not just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's it. That's the law and everything else. No, that whole book is the law. But getting back to what I was saying, though, Romans 7:14-15 said we know that the Bible is spiritual, so it's more spiritual man. And also, Genesis chapter 12, we was in there last new moon class, or first of Tibet last month. It said there was a famine. In Genesis chapter 12, verse, I know I told you to go to Genesis 26, but I can't go there until I, you know, build this up and go ahead. And that'd be rude to do it like that. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, it says, there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to live because the famine was so severe. So remember what we know is spiritual. So what happened? Not only there was a famine in the land for the food, the substance that the mankind needed with their herds. Remember, they was herdsmen. People needed, the animals needed they needed food also. So a famine is very severe for everything. Just livestock, they can't survive. They need they need proper nutrients also. So we see also down in Egypt, it was a famine also. In which way, famine? In the ways of the Most High. Because before Abram came down, remember, Abram left. When Yahweh told him, left, leave, I'll bless you. Yahweh led him. It just kind of, I kind of see it like mirroring or reflecting. You kind of see something. What I saw just a few minutes ago when I turned there, because I was going to go straight to Genesis 26, but you kind of see something. Yahweh filled Moses, and he told him, I'll bless you. I'll make you a blessing. And he told him to leave. So Moses took his substance, his family, you know how the story went, and he left. And verse 7, he built an altar. And then he continued to travel on, continuing to Negev. And then he came into the land, went down to Egypt to live because the family was so severe. So we know they didn't have the word of Yahweh down there. We know when Abraham came, he spoke the word of Yahweh. Even remember, family, even if we learn, even if we don't even say things, people see the things that we do. They see our, where we conduct ourselves, where we carry ourselves. We still can be speaking to someone without even opening our mouths, saying a word by the things that we do. So they saw Abraham. So Abraham surely showed the ways of the Most High with his altars and sacrifices and worshiping Most High. So he was trying to come down to Egypt and feed them also, because they were in a famine. And then we see that, we know how the story goes. Pharaoh, when he found out that Sarah wasn't Abraham's sister, and Pharaoh did what? He asked him, what did you do to me and your household? Here's your wife, take her and get out. And we know how I that's kind of hard, so don't take him, get out. In verse 20, so Pharaoh signed men to Abram, and they escorted him and his wife and all that he had out the country. And Genesis chapter 13, Abram traveled from Egypt along with his wife and everyone who belonged to his household, including Lot, to Negev. Verse 2, now Abram had become quite wealthy in livestock, silver, and gold. He journeyed by stages from Negev to Bethel, the place where his tent had formerly been between Bethel and Ai, where Abram first built an altar to the name of Yah. Now we're going to go over to verse 26, my second account. Like I said, I'm saying it's only Abram. Second account. Isaac, we know Isaac is Abram's son in his old age, his promised son. He had a son, Ishmael, when he was what, 85, something like that, 75. I think Abraham was 76. No, he left at 75, and I think 10 years passed, something like that. Yeah, I think he was about 80, 85, whatever. In 86, he had Ishmael, his son by his, well, became his concubine, or his, because she was his wife Sarah's servant. And remember, when he left, they had gave him substance. So now we go to 26. Genesis 26, later on, a famine swept through the land. There was a famine in the land in addition to the first famine that was in the days of Abram. Isaac went to Amalek, king of the Philistines, to Gerar. Mm-hmm. Apologize for that. I missed that. That's what I was looking for. I'm like, where you at with it? Genesis, what I wanted to state and then go straight into that. Genesis 12 also states, Genesis chapter 12, verse 16 says, because the Pharaoh saw Sarah, and Sarah was very attractive to look at, he dealt well with Abram for her sake, because he's assuming that this is Abram's sister, because that's what Abram told him, and that's what he told Sarah, and his whole convoy, his whole people, because remember, he left Haran with everybody. So he didn't just go down, so you guys chill. I didn't read it like that, like how Jacob was back in the land where when there was famine, and he sent his sons down to Egypt. And then later on, you know how the story goes in Genesis, but then they went and everyone came down. But it doesn't read that way. Maybe I missed it. I need to go back and see that, but apologize. But he dwelt well with Abram. That's verse 16, Genesis 12. He had sheep, cattle, male donkeys, male servant, female donkeys, and camels. The Pharaoh gave this to Abram. And you said, well, what that got to do with anything, Brother Chavel? Verse 16, he dwelt well with Abram, and hallelujah to Brother Canukel. Brother Canukel is Brother Wendell, for those who know. Our Kohen, our Moray down in Houston, Texas. Am I saying that right? Houston, Dallas? No, Houston, Texas. Biggest Texas is, might be a Houston, Texas. I mean, a Houston, Dallas, but I'm talking about Houston, the city of Houston and the state of Texas. That's what Moray Canukel is, Wendell. When we were having discussion last night, he called me on his break, and we were talking, like, yeah, he was sharing with me. And when we finished the discussion, I wanted a further more study. It was like, things me and him were saying, I'm like, bam, and I came across this, like, whoa. And I feel like this is a good time to bring it up. Verse 16, he dwelt well with Abram. For her sake, he had sheep, cattle, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkey, cattle. Why? He said, well, why are you emphasizing on that verse 16? Because remember, Abraham was well in age, right? And Sarah was well in age and couldn't give him a child after he was told, you will have an heir. And like I said, if I'm not mistaken, it was 10 or 12 years, 11 years later, he was 85, 86. And Sarah says, excuse me, leaning onto her own understanding, Sarah says, look, take my handmaid. And you can, she have conceived. That's how she became Abraham's concubine, his wife, his other wife. Her handmaid was, and they say her name was Hagar. She was Egyptian. That's why I said I had to go back. That's what I was looking for. And you wonder, why are you reading that? You read it before, but I missed that when I taught last week. But by talking to Brother Canukel last night, when I went back in, I seen that, like, bam. Pharaoh, so Hagar, you know, it tells us right there, she was an Egyptian handmaid of Sarah. I'm not saying it's saying this, but it's possibility, strong possibility, that she was one of the gifts that was presented to Abraham and his wife, because the Pharaoh at the time thought it was Abraham's sister, for a bounty. You know, like is it bounty? Yeah, Eliezer, Abraham's servant in the future, went to find Isaac a bride, and he gave a bounty. So that's what made that's how that came out. You're like, what that mean? I'm just saying, it doesn't say it, but verse 16 says, gave him donkeys, male servants, females, gave him servants. So bam, Hagar may have came out of that transaction that the Pharaoh was trying to bribe Abraham to get his sister. And that's why Ishmael come along. Now we can speed up to 26, and then we go very close. The time is, 8:51. We'll close this. So come on. You know what? We're not going to close that. I always say don't close that, but I ain't going to rush through that. Same way, bro. I'm going to keep on going. I might get some more out of that. The conversation that me and Brother Canukel held last night, that's how I came across verse 16 of Genesis 12 that I overlooked for many years I have read. like I said, I just taught a lesson, the famine out of that, on the first of month, last month, and didn't even see it. So I'm not going to rush into Genesis 26. I'm going to go to those other verses that I said to elaborate on this, what we're celebrating tonight. That's found in Psalms, I think it's 81. I'm going to read that. Okay, hallelujah. Apologize. Psalms 81. It says, chief musician on an instrument of Gath by Asaph. Psalms 81, it says, starting verse 1, it says, sing aloud to Elohim, our strength, Yahweh. Make a joyful shout to the mighty one of Jacob, the Elohim of Jacob. Verse 2, raise a song. Bring here the tambourine, the pleasant lyre with the harp. Remember earlier I said, you know, it's a time, don't want to hold you long, it's a time for you to be with your family, your friends. Blow your shofar, sing your hymns, play your music in the house, eat, drink, have your little wine, rub a blue rock. Let me see. Yeah, you can go ahead and have your little half glass of manischewitz, because you know, in the army, you ain't supposed to drink at 10 o'clock. So I don't know if they might change the rule. But enjoy this, fam. This is something Yahweh gives us also once a month, accompanied with our weekly Shabbat. So, verse 3, Psalms 81:3. Blow the trumpet. I did that at the beginning of the program. I know you said, what is he doing? He never did that. I figured it'd be appropriate tonight. Now, blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. For it is a statute for Israel and an ordinance of the God of Jacob. He appointed it in Joseph for covenant when he went out over the land of Egypt. I heard a language I did not know. So as we see, family, I want to read that in the Hebrew. I want to find something in Hebrew real quick. Make a joyful noise. Yep, blow up the trumpet for the new moon. New moon in Hebrew is 23:20. Kodesh. That's why early in the program I said, Kodesh, Latova. Kodesh, the new moon. Monthly. Brown's theory, BDB definition. That's one of Brown's theory. Okay. The new moon, monthly. Monthly, the first day of the month, the lunar month. Origin from Hebrew 23:18, which is Kodesh, to be new, renew, and repair. To renew, make anew, to repair. To casualty, primitive root, to be new, casualtively, to rebuild, to renew, repair. So every month, We look, apologize for the noise in the background. Every month, just look at it, look at it on the positive side. The fire department going down, you blowing his horn, that's a shofar. I take that, hallelujah. Verse 4 says in Psalms 81, this is a statue. Hebrew, that's 27:06, that word chok, chok. Statute, ordinance, limit, something prescribed, a boundary, enactment, a decree, an ordinance, specific degree, decree, excuse me, not decree, law in general, enactment, statutes, conditions, enactments, decrees, civil enactments, prescribed by Elohim. Strong definition, Hebrews 27:10, is kah. To cut out, decree, inscribe, set, engrave, to mark. So we see right there the significance of this day that Yahweh tell us to do these things. What was the other word I said? Look up. That was a statue. And it said for a statue for Israel and a law. That word law is 49:41, mishpah, judgment, justice, ordinance, act of deciding a case, place, court, seat of judgment, process, procedure, litigation before judges, case cause presented for judgment, sentence, decision of judgment, execution, time of judgment, justice, right, rectitude, attributes of God or man, ordinance, decision, right, privilege, due, proper, fitting, measure, fitness, custom, or manner. And that origin comes from 81:99 with the shofar, to judge, govern, so we see basically what Yahweh is telling us. We do these things because this was a statute for a law of God, of Jacob. And so when we look at the new moon every time, like a renewing, another whole month, refreshing, renewing. So we look forward to this thing every month. It's like every Shabbat, every sunset, Friday night, we look at a renewing, a refreshment to get prepared for the upcoming week, God willing. Remember we had homework a couple of Shabbats ago. Rabbi told us to look up there. He tell us the homework. Study the word statue and judgment. So that's why it came to my mind to say that, because I didn't want to do that one, but I wanted to go Genesis 26, but we didn't do that some other time. And last was 83. Okay. And Deuteronomy, and my closing scripture is going to be Deuteronomy. So we're going to bring this to a close so everybody can enjoy. And I didn't even get no wine for the night. Oh, that's right, because I'm teaching. I just said, man, I usually get wine on New Moon. But yeah, I can't, though, because I was teaching. That's probably why I ain't got no wine. But I got some nice off-brand spring water here. Oh, no, this is the purifying one, Crystal Fall. Deuteronomy 6. And I'm going to read from Deuteronomy. Which one I read earlier. Here therefore, Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 3. Here therefore, O Israel, observe to do it that it may be well. That's Yahweh's law, commandments, and statutes that he gave Moshe. With thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as Yahweh, your mighty one of your fathers, has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. See, Yahweh can show you how to combat a famine, how to prevent a famine, and how to lead you into abundance and a flowing, overflowing of necessities, nutrients, good nutrition of his spiritual word for our bodies and our spiritual life. Remember, we have a spiritual, we can be well nourished by our physical man, but our spiritual man can be malnourished. And like I said, that's what's going on in the world. Today's Groundhog Day. That's a tradition of man. It's not a Groundhog Day. Today's the first of the month, a new moon. Yesterday supposed to be a Chinese New Year for our brothers and sisters. No, it wasn't. Was not. So that's how the traditions of man, that people are feeding and filling up off of those things, the things of the world, but not and restraining and being deficient in the ways of the Most High. Okay. So we see right there in Deuteronomy that we read every Shabbat, that's how Yahweh, is the author of a famine, and he's the author of removing a famine. Only Yahweh can do those things, not HaSatan. He doesn't have that power. Anything that happens, he has to go get the authority from the Most High. Good, 9-1. I apologize for that. I know I told you Genesis 26, but no, I'm going to do 26. And this is the last verse. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 1. It said, these are the words which Moshe spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness in the Araba, opposite Suf, between Paran, Tufel, Laban, Hazaroth, and Deshabah. Verse 2, it is 11 days journey for Harab by the way of Mount Zai to Kadesh Barana. Verse 3, in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that's Sebet. That's Sebet right there. That's the 40th year they came out of Egypt, family. When they came out of Egypt. And y'all know what day he came out of Egypt. Our anniversary, the 15th of Abib. So that's 40 years after that in the 11th month. Because they came out in when? The first month. Found Exodus chapter 13, verse 4. And then you go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, 3. And you'll see Abib at the beginning of the year. But that lets you know when they came out. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that Yahweh had given him and commanded them to say. So that's what today's something historical happened today that Yahweh want people to know. He want all mankind to know these things. That's why this was inscribed. And he lets mankind know. So if anyone's a believer, a follower, they have to do this diligently if they want to beat their famine. Remember, Yahweh put a famine. And the famine, if you think about it, famine still exists to this day because people are not hearing the word of Yah. They're hearing a word, but that's not the word of Yah. So on that note, family, it was kind of little traditions of man. But Yahweh said, still use it. I was going to do a tradition of man and go through the man holidays versus us. But we know that. We got plenty of time for that. Just like how this happened to come across. As we're going through the tour, we'll be revealing the light, the truth on that, shine the light on the darkness and the lies and the falsehood and bringing out the truth light. As we continue as children of the kingdom to nourish ourselves and be those seed sowers of good nutrition seed to fill your spiritual inner man. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternity, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, a mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you, a mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King, blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words again. Amen. Family, I want to also close in prayer, as an opening prayer. Father, Yah, continue to bless us and fill us with your spirit and lead us and teach us and guide us to do your wills so we can help people, feed people in this land, this malnourished land. I mean, the malnourished people are receiving much food for their fleshly bodies, their physical bodies, but their spiritual bodies are malnourished and they're lacking in hunger for your ways. There's many ways and traditions of man, but those ways are death, like you tell us. The way that seem right, but those ways are not death. Those ways don't lead to life, they lead to death. You have to be had a mind of Yahshua, like in John chapter 6. Speak the words, spiritual words, that produce eternal life. Fleshly words doesn't produce anything. Watch over all of our Beth Yahweh family. Forgive me if I left anyone out. Plus, watch over our family, our loved ones, and our siblings, and our neighborhoods, Father God, and our little nation that you told us to go out, like you told your disciples that were with you back then. They are our little nations, our neighborhoods, the places that we go through. We continue to teach all that you command. And tell people about your son, your law, statutes, and commandments. so we can help their minds so they can get coordinated back into your will, Father God, so they can have their speech right, and they walk right, and their mind right, their memory, like Yahshua, let this mind be in you as it was Mashiach. So Father Yah, thank you on this new moon day and giving us another month, Father Yah, coming into your 12th month. And continue to lead us and guide us. Let us all enjoy this Rosh Kodesh, HaKodesh, that you gave us today. And thank you, Abba. Your soon coming King and Redeemer, your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Kadesh Tov, family. Enjoy your evening. Shalom.
Son of Nun, who brought I and I cross River Jordan, and though the Amorites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites all tried to fight against the Israelites, Jah gave us victory before the daylight. God, we call on Jah, the Gideon, Israel. Family from Israel straight to Ethiopia, calling upon all Hebrew Kushites, all you Nazarites, all the Israelites, come along and let us be rectified. Let us rise and take our God given right. It's by call on Jah, and here. Their bodies are suffering.